Welcome aboard, you people. It is a Starship Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis off for what may be a very slow walk or ride home because the teachers are on the move, at least downtown.
How about it?
You remember yesterday we were telling you about the training that they were getting.
Civil disobedience. There was civil disobedience training, and there were several shots and videos done by the local news stations showing them sitting down in the middle of busy streets and holding hands and that kind of thing.
And it appears that that's what they're doing. They're heading, there's a group right now heading toward Lakeshore Drive, and that's what appears to be the target for this. I've just been alerted by law enforcement that is at least their plan. They believe that at least a splinter group of the protesting teachers are going to try to shut down Lakeshore Drive.
According to the scanner on Twitter, there's a lot of calls going out about do not close the drive, hold the line. So they're really, really, really trying. And the pictures show that a big cluster of them is being held back.
A big cluster of teachers.
Teachers, yeah. I don't know. It's already a pretty big group. I don't know how successful they will be. So this is about to get interesting.
Being held back by?
Police officers.
A line of police. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Who are blocking them very close to Lakeshore?
Or yeah, where on Belbo and Lakeshore Drive.
Interesting.
Ironic, since Belbo was known for such great discovery and for moving forward.
Well, they've got two groups. One's heading to Lakeshore Drive. The other is where, did you say?
They were heading north on Columbus.
On Columbus, going north.
Well, that's toward us.
Yes, so they may be heading toward the Michigan Avenue area. Is that possible? Well, I guess we don't know exactly
originally,
their destination.
They did say that, and it has been said that they plan to end at Daley Plaza, but I almost think they've been misguiding people.
So we'll have to keep tracking that and see.
Right. I mean, it would be in their best interest not to tell us exactly what they're doing or tell the police exactly what they were doing. But I think in organized protests over the last couple of years that we have covered, the police do have a pretty good way of working with the organizers to say, all right, if this is what you want to do, we'll help you do this. We just need you to be safe, and we need you to stay off Lakeshore Drive. You want to go down a surface street? Fine. But Lakeshore Drive is a difficult situation because Lakeshore Drive doesn't have places to divert. And if something happens to somebody on Lakeshore Drive, they're not going to be able to get the emergency equipment out there. So it'll be harder. At least that's the theory behind that. So if you want to, I mean, Michigan Avenue is a nice symbolic place to close down. When we were working on Michigan Avenue at the Tribune Tower, we used to see this all the time.
We'd see the protests. Many of them do come down Michigan Avenue.
I'm actually seeing some photos on Twitter right now of police with their bikes lined up just blocking Lakeshore Drive.
There were also reports that possibly the group that was heading north on Columbus backtracked. I don't know if that's verified that all of them did, but almost like a deterrent, they planned to break up, and now the other ones were even coming back towards Lakeshore Drive. But I can't verify that just yet.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, this will be our big story of the hour, trying to figure out what actually gets closed down and what doesn't get closed down. The best advice we can give you is if you're coming downtown or you're trying to leave downtown, is avoid Lakeshore Drive if you can. It does appear that Lakeshore Drive north of the river doesn't seem to be affected at the moment. And northbound, north of the river, obviously does not. Southbound, I am now seeing southbound is completely jammed up at the river. So I don't know if that's related to that series of lights or they're diverting traffic, or trying to figure out what exactly to do here.
Another thing that I'm seeing pop up on the Twitter related to the scanner is that they're turning some lights solid green so that cars will avoid stopping to keep them moving because people are obviously starting to slow down with the people nearby.
Yeah. That does. We do have the advantage point of being able to look directly at it.
You can look at Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, there is a little bit of motion on Lakeshore Drive right now.
In Lower Wacker, to get on to Lakeshore Drive, you could tell is extremely backed up, too.
Yeah.
Have we heard, Kim, the latest on the negotiations? We did hear some positive verbiage, I guess, from the CTUs. I heard one say smooth sailing. I heard another say, yes, it was a good day. That's all I'm going to say.
Right, and they were saying a little more optimistic today, and they said their hope is to have everyone back in school on Monday.
Oh, well, they do now have the weekend, too.
Right.
They don't have to close the schools today at 3 o'clock, you know, for tomorrow. They do have the weekend to be able to make the announcement of whether they have Sunday now is their deadline.
Because Monday, if there's still a war teacher strike going on with the president in town, the Obamas are arriving on Monday.
What? Oh,
for
what?
Their,
oh, wait a second.
Yes, the Obama Foundation Summit on Tuesday. You've got the International Association of Police Officers at McCormick Place. I mean, this is going to kind of be the center of the universe on Monday. And there already will be protesters for several of those events.
Who overbooked
the city? Yeah, somebody overbooked. Like a hotel. Can you kind of say, hey, we got no more room?
Do the Trumps and the Obamas know that they're going to be in the same city at the same time?
Yeah.
Are they aware of that? Are they on the same flight from Dulles coming into Chicago?
Both going to be somewhat close to each other, too. You think that they're in Bronzeville, the Obamas? Well, Tuesday the event begins in Bronzeville for them. I don't know exactly their commitments on Monday, but according to Politico, they're arriving in Chicago Monday at some point, maybe the evening. I don't know. But it, of course, the President Trump will be here for a noon fundraiser, I think, downtown, and then moving on to speak at the McCormick Place Association of the International Police Chiefs.
Good.
Yeah, that's scheduled for 2.
2 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I look forward to massive traffic tie-ups on Monday.
So whatever you're seeing today, just saying Monday might look a little more severe.
All right. Demetrius Ivory is going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk about what the weather's looking like. And we'll also have in the traffic right now with Lauren, you're going to get a sense of all the stuff that's going on. All right. We're watching the situation here as it's developing on Lakeshore Drive, as the teachers now are moving. A protest of striking teachers, Chicago Public School teachers, has been moving east from on Balbo, from essentially the Buckingham Fountain to Lakeshore Drive, trying to stop the traffic on Lakeshore Drive. There's another group of teachers that are moving. We believe that they are moving down Columbus, north on Columbus, but may have backtracked. We're still trying to get a sense of that. But the real drama, the real action here is this group of protesting teachers that is now in front of a line of police officers that are trying to block them from actually breaching onto Lakeshore Drive.
Right. And you can see that traffic on Lakeshore Drive, it's moving, but it's going awfully slowly, as those teachers are really building up there at Balbo, and then there's a line of officers on their bikes and standing, literally blocking them from progressing further onto Lakeshore Drive. Looks like hundreds, if not, I can't get the full view. I don't know if you guys can see it differently, but a lot of teachers there moving into position on Balbo.
All right, we're taking a look at it throughout the multiple cameras now that are on that scene. Let's check in quickly with Demetrius Ivory. We knew we wanted to do this to get ready for the weekend here, and we'll continue to watch what's happening on the roads or what's happening on Lakeshore Drive. But first, Demetrius, cooler today, but what's it going to look like for the weekend, and what's it going to look like for next week? Because there, I keep hearing the S word.
Yes.
And the F word.
Not a bad word this time of year.
Yeah. It is, yeah, I've considered the S word to be a bad word all the time, but that's just me.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Frost isn't so bad, you know. We've already had our first frost in some areas, but, yeah, we are going to be, there will be chances of snow next week, which is, you know, it's kind of on time. Typically, we get it around November, I believe 17th, so, you know, close to it, but this weekend looks pretty good. I mean, tomorrow, I do have a washout for the afternoon. We'll see clouds kind of increasing early, so it'll start to rain for probably around lunchtime and the rest of the evening. So tomorrow you're talking about rain, windy, high temperature only in the low 50s. Sunday, though, will be cloudy for the, I'm going to say, the pregame, maybe the tailgate, but during the game we are dry at Soldier Field, so expect sunshine there. We'll be back up to around 60, and then Monday we'll see cloudiness once again, but it's going to be cooler, 50 there and then into the upper 40s for Tuesday and Wednesday. That chance for snow, and it's only a chance because, you know, some models say no way, some models say maybe a little bit. What looks like it would be sometime Halloween into Halloween night, which I think is even more awesome to see people walking home in their costumes with the snow and the cold.
Are you out of your
mind?
Are
you saying awesome? Like, how do you mean awesome? Awesome like wow awesome? Or awesome like you feel sad for them?
Well, no, I'm not one of it. I'm like, my partying days are over. So that's just basically.
You've got kids.
Good luck, kids.
Oh, no. Well, the kids, it is going to be a little bit chilly, but the snow, it's probably just going to be snow probably Thursday night. So I'm not talking about a kid thing. I'm talking about adults. Yeah, no, not the kids.
Oh.
For trick-or-treating, it's going to be chilly. It's going to be a little bit blustery. So you're probably going to need to put a jacket on your kid's costume. But
oh, that sucks.
I know, I hate that. My daughter, Demetrius, my daughter is going as cotton candy this year. I don't know how I fit a jacket over the big puffed up cotton candy thing.
Ooh,
this is a problem. And then it's got to be rainproof too, potentially? Is this what you're saying?
I know. Well, yeah, it's got to be rainproof. We're taking some showers. And yeah, then there will be a chance for that night rain changing to maybe some snow, light snow accumulation. So yeah, it's, you know, weather wise for the kids, it's not the best holiday. It's going to be blustery and cold. For the adults, after your Halloween festivities, it's going to be really cold.
See, now I. I think Demetrius is just talking about what happens when he gets home. I could tell you that that's the thing with the modern family situation with the trick-or-treating. If you're going out with the kids and the trick-or-treating,
yeah,
they often have a solo cup with them. And there's a little bit of the, depending on the neighborhood, depending on the suburb that you're in, your community.
They have a little open house going on for the parents.
Yeah. It's, you know, your stop, it's sort of a I don't know, alcohol daisy chain, I think is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Stop in.
Yeah. Or you know, in my suburb, we do sippy cups. We don't do solo cups. We take the sippy cups and just walk around with them.
It looked like you're holding your kid's sippy cup. And then you're drinking out of it?
Do you realize how dangerous that
everywhere. Is? That works everywhere. At pools, you know, PJ, you know, we just hang out there.
No one tests it.
Straight vodka out of the sippy cup. And the only problem is you just don't want the kids to necessarily get confused. No, Daddy's got the blue sippy cup, the blue sippy cup.
Get that away from her.
Right.
All right. Well, we have learned a lot about the Ivory family right now.
Changes everything.
Yeah, fascinated. Thank you very much.
Never a dull moment.
No, apparently not. All right. Well, thanks for the good and the evil news all at the same time right there. I don't know how I feel about it, but we got it. Demetrius, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There you go.
Thanks, Demetrius.
Okay, so back to the roadways here and back to what's happening with Lakeshore Drive and this protest. We've got our own Ryan Burrows approaching the protest right now, he'll join us live coming up here in just a few minutes. So we're watching visuals here from a number of the helicopter cameras in the area. And it looks like a pretty, it's a significant standoff. There's a lot of people here.
And they seem to be sort of all gathering there on Balboa as the crowds are getting bigger and bigger of teachers just facing off with police right there at the edge of going on to Lakeshore Drive as they block it with their bikes and standing across that roadway on Balboa. I don't know what's going to happen next.
Now, let me ask you this question, because I know you know, we've gone back and forth. You and I have gone back and forth about this for the last couple of weeks. The public perception here. Do you get the sense that this kind of a thing is going to help them? They're annoying people that may have absolutely nothing to do with this. It's not like the people on the roadway are necessarily going to call Lori Lightfoot and put pressure on her.
Yeah, I think it goes. It right now, it feels as if the teachers do have a lot of supporters, a lot of honking horns, and people, you know, supporting their movement. When they walked through the loop in LaSalle, they said that some people. Did you see those stories? Some people spit on them from the businesses up above. So obviously that's a horrible thing to do, and they're obviously seeing both sides of this. When you shut down a major roadway at rush hour, you're definitely making a statement. Now, how each of those drivers is going to perceive that when they're trying to get home and get where they're going to get, they need to go, I don't know that everyone's going to be on their side at a time like this.
Also, just so you know, they are officially moving back towards Michigan Avenue. They did not
get out of Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good news. Now, Michigan Avenue might be a separate situation.
Right. And obviously, Balboa is closed down. And I think for a while, Lakeshore Drive is going to be backed up southbound because of that. But also, a whole right lane is blocked with police trying to keep them. So just something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. What I do remember from these protests in the past is that they will block off either north or southbound lanes of Michigan Avenue. And then they're going to shunt all of the protesters onto either northbound or southbound lanes, because those are generally, you know, there's a median between the northbound and southbound on Michigan Avenue, almost all the way down from Oak Street all the way down to Roosevelt, essentially. So as long as you've got that, you're able to kind of control the crowd a little bit that way. And then they'll put the bikes along the side of them and just kind of ride with them as they're moving up. And then once they get to Chicago Avenue, they have a tendency to sort of turn them around. The one thing, there's two issues here for traffic purposes for emergency vehicles. You've got the access to Northwestern Hospital, which is the primary level one trauma center for the north side of Chicago. So if they get in the way of accessing that, they're going to move them very, very quickly out of there. And then if they don't follow those commands, they will marshal them and they will start arresting some of those people, because you got to make sure that you're not actually impacting anybody. And that's we've seen this with the Black Lives Matter protests. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with a number of other things, especially in and around the time of the Laquan McDonald video being made public. We saw this a lot.
We did.
And now with teachers, and teachers have a little bit of a different, I believe the intent here is to draw attention to their strike as opposed to an overt act of civil disobedience, which I think the Laquan McDonald thing was a much more of a statement about law enforcement and against law enforcement. This isn't about that. And so one would imagine that you have to be, you would want people to be fairly calm about how much disruption they're going to do, especially downtown on a Friday afternoon when you've got not only people having to get somewhere, but you got to keep people safe too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We got the news coming your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. It's time for Lauren's List. Before we get to Lauren's List, as you know, I'm always on it one way or another, generally not in a good way. Kevin often finds his way into the list. This week's Lauren's List are things to do, see, and avoid. Avoid. And one of the things to avoid right now is downtown, as our own Ryan Burrow has been following now. You've caught up with the protesters, I understand, the striking teachers protesters that have been trying to move to Lakeshore Drive, were turned back by police, and now heading toward Michigan Avenue. Our own, that is not Ryan Burrow.
The CTU is saying they're heading to the Thompson Center. There's a group from that group that was on Balboa heading to Lakeshore Drive that turned around. I'm hearing Thompson Center, maybe Ryan.
And now okay. Northbound on Michigan.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you now.
All right, fantastic. We are heading north, actually, right now on Michigan Avenue. So they are making that way, if indeed, to the Thompson Center heading north.
So... is Michigan Avenue going to be the target to shut down?
Well, it is right now. So, yeah, no one's moving up or down Michigan Avenue right now. There are thousands upon thousands of teachers. You know, we know that there are 25,000 teachers on strike. I would say a majority of them are here right now, so well over 10,000.
And this is all south of the river right now. You're between Balbo and do we know how far north this has gotten?
I'm getting up to the front right now. It looks like Balboa is where they're at. Maybe it looks like they actually just extended past it.
We have a listener, 847, also reporting that there are striking teachers at O'Hare Airport. So we've been reporting a number of different locations today. And apparently there's a protest there. But this one is sizable, this one that's on Michigan Avenue. Turned around.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, the question now will be, will the police allow them to cross the Michigan Avenue Bridge? That becomes the big question here.
Well, if they're going to go left and make their way to City Hall, they wouldn't need to do that. We'll see where this goes. I have a feeling this will probably last until about 5 o'clock. So it's just a matter of how much they continue to wind their way around the streets. Are they going to go to Trump Tower? I know that was one of the things that had been suggested in previous marches by the Chicago Teachers Union. I don't know if that's going to be the case today.
Well, it does make sense on Monday to do that because the president will actually be at Trump Tower on Monday. Today,
Monday's
you just
gonna be a fun day.
You just have people overpaying for condos right now at the Trump Tower. That's the only thing that you have.
And not able to protest that, I suppose, if you wanted to.
And not able to get out of the deals that they're in. That's the issue.
Not able to get rid of them.
I'm kind of excited, Ro, about the return of the Vuvuzela. Can you hear it?
I did hear it in the background.
Yeah.
The Vuvuzela should be outlawed.
Well, there would be a lot of people here. You want to talk about civil disobedience, yeah. There would be a lot of that going on with
I want
Vuvuzela.
Everybody with the Vuvuzela arrested immediately. It's just me. Excuse me. All right. We'll check back with you. Ryan Burrow, who's on Michigan Avenue right now with the protesters. And Lauren, obviously, downtown today to avoid. But what else is going on?
Okay, well, a lot of Halloween events, obviously. I think this is kind of the official weekend that people are celebrating. I know a lot of times people celebrate the weekend after, too, but it's different when it's still in October. So just be ready for a lot of ghouls and goblins and sexy drunks versions of everything you can think of, you know. So that's going to be all over the streets, including starting tonight. In Schaumburg, they have Halloween Bonanza. That's from 6 to 9. Just your kind of normal get-together in terms of crafts and inflatables that the kids can go on. You also get to do some trick-or-treating. There's a costume contest and a haunted train ride. I know it's a little too scary for you, Ro, but, you know, I think the kids will enjoy something like that.
Ooh.
There's also Trunk or Treat tonight, 6:30 to 8:30 in Crystal Lake. So another just big event for the kids to kind of do trick-or-treating in a safe manner. And this one's different because you get to do it from decorated car trunks. So people that are participating have a fun opportunity to really get creative with how they're distributing their candy. But there's also hay rides and face painting and cookie decorating and even a movie. So they do want three donated canned goods per family.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So that's kind of the only thing you would have to give up, but I don't think that's too much to ask. As for the big kids, obviously a lot of Halloween bar and pub crawls this weekend. You listening, Kevin?
I'm listening. Okay. You have my attention now.
So, what you didn't before, the cookie painting and the face painting and cookie making?
So tonight and tomorrow, there's the Chicago Halloween bar crawl, and that's just a variety of bars participating in Wicker Park, River North, Lincoln Park, and there are tickets for each of these, just keep in mind. So,
what would be the difference in any of those places between this and any other Friday night? What makes this Friday night different than any other?
Smeared cat noses and ears tilting to the side on a female. I don't know. They're just the costumes, I guess. And drink deals, because you have to buy tickets. And longer lines in the bathroom, probably.
Yes, I would imagine.
Because it's tough to get out of costumes. That's true. Halloween parties, it's like people, it's a whole production for people to go to the bathroom.
People really need to think about that before purchasing
they
costumes.
Do.
That's a good point. Hey, if you haven't bought yours yet, think about that.
People, this is a good time to start practicing using a diaper. You're going to eventually need it. You used it once before.
You used it, yeah.
If it takes you an hour to get into the costume, figure how much time it's going to take to get out of it.
Right.
In a cramped bathroom. That's disgusting.
Right. So some of the more specific bar crawls going on, these are all tomorrow specifically. A Nightmare of Hubbard Street, so that's 10 different bars.
Always is.
12 to 8 for that one. Crawloween is in Rosemont, so the bars around that vicinity. That's $10 to $15. And Halloween Day Crawl in River North, 11 to 6, so that's for your day drinkers out there.
Tomorrow?
Day drink. Yep.
Oh, my God, I've seen this. Oh, it is.
Starting too early can be a mistake.
Oh, horrifying. Horrifying what happens. And especially down, I mean, you know what you're talking about there. You're talking about Hubbard and Kinsey and that whole.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Yeah, it's. And then the e-scooters are not around anymore, thankfully.
Now, imagine the people doing the Halloween Day Crawl 11 to 6 and then jumping over to the Wrigleyville Halloween Crawl 7 to midnight.
And they will. And they will.
Yeah, so
Becca's all over this.
Definitely.
She's already,
where's the
she's
next crawl?
Pre-gaming for the pregame right now.
Definitely be aware of that if you live in the area, because that's going to be a nightmare all day tomorrow. Just all the bars, all the people walking to and from and waiting and stumbling and puking and, you know, whatever else goes along with
guys,
it.
Chad said we can use his apartment to pregame.
All right, let us take a bet on which bar Becca is arrested at, or which emergency room she has to check into. I'm going to go with Illinois Masonic for her. I think that's where it's going to end up. She will somehow end up in the Wrigleyville area, and it will be Illinois Masonic or St. Joseph's. St. Joseph's is your offset. That's a good. I would like to suggest to Becca, our imaginary drunken White Claw friend, that if you need an emergency room in a situation like this, and you don't want to get in the way of the gunshot wounds, go to St. Joseph's.
It's a good way to
diversify.
I feel like
it's
always
sluggers. That's.
I was just going to say. Becca grabs a baseball bat and the batting cage. I can totally hit the ball.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
So if you're looking for a fancier Halloween party, tomorrow at 9 p.m. is the Haunted Halloween Ball at Congress Plaza Hotel. Very nice. General admission ticket is $20, but there are other packages. There's also the Nightmare at Navy Pier. That's 8 p.m., but that's over in the Grand Ballroom. Different packages for tickets for that as well. You can enjoy a cash bar, but obviously DJs, dancing, costumes galore.
We've seen them getting ready for this because they were doing the fireworks last night. We could see them from our window here, and they looked pretty cool.
spectacular. Then they have an eyeball at the center of the Ferris wheel that kind of looks all over the place, kind of follows you as you move around.
Right.
And so they're really set up for something big.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy over there. And then not to mention there are a bunch of different Halloween cruises going on from the different ships that
Navy Pier. Oh, let's hope Becca chooses not to do that. Because we know what happens when Becca gets around boats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and that's a big... It was a rough summer. Good. It really was for
Becca.
It was
a rough summer. She made it out alive. Thank God. Thank God. We lost Becca, a few times this year.
I'm here!
Thank goodness for the marine unit. Becca.
Definitely going to be too cold to fall in that water, too. If something that's not Halloween-related going on Saturday, the Walk to End Alzheimer's, obviously the largest fundraiser to fight this disease. It'll take place at 10 a.m., Soldier Field. And the money raised goes to provide care and support for all of those affected. So also helps advance research. A very important thing to support.
Listener texts in 3D House of Horror Party at the Diplomat West in Elmhurst.
What'd you say?
Horror Party.
Horror.
Prizes for sexiest costume.
Extra syllable. Wait.
So both. There's one horror, more syllable. Horror. It could go either way.
It could go either way.
Horror.
Horror.
Becca!
Becca's all over this.
Oh, God. Did you see that there was a sexy hot chicken sandwich costume?
What?
Really?
Yeah. The Chick-fil-A hot chicken or whatever the thing was. It was the crazy thing from over the summer. Was it Wendy's or Chick-fil-A that had the hot chicken one that went totally viral?
Popeyes.
I'm sorry. Popeyes. So there's a sexy Popeyes chicken sandwich costume.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's end on another Halloween note. Something that is different, but they have Day of the Dead on Sunday. That's outside the National Museum of Mexican Art. It's completely free, and you can remember dearly departed loved ones with altars or, you know, ofrendas, they call them.
That's a good event. I've been to that in years past.
And live music and face painting, all things that are very culturally appropriate. So if you're interested in that, if you are, you know, if you celebrate that in your culture, I think that's a great event to go to.
Do you see Becca showing up at that and being inappropriate?
I really hope not.
That this is just all part of a big Halloween thing? Hey! Oh, I love your costume!
Where's the other sexy chicken sandwiches?
This chicken sandwich costume is ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. All right.
And, of course, you can find more events and specifically Halloween festivities on our website and on the post for Weekend Warning. All the details are there. Oh, also, of course, plenty of sports this weekend. So you got Northwestern tomorrow. And you
homecoming,
have...
right? Up in Evanston?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Scariest event all weekend is at Soldier Field, noon.
Yes.
I know that can be pretty scary. Cause
yeah. Oh, can be.
Well.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's the Chargers, so we'll see.
That's the worst part.
I know.
This is a team they should beat. And you know what's going to happen. They're going to announce Mitch Trubisky and...
He's going to be a different guy on Sunday, you see. You'll wait and see.
Hope he's in costume.
I hope he's a different guy. I hope he's a better guy at playing football.
Oh.
You know, he should go as Tom Brady to the game.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I think that might be something.
Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's check in now with what's happening on the road.
With me again.
All right. Thanks, sir. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Team Hochberg is redoing the debt for the city of Chicago. Did I see that right? If they're not, they should be.
Mm-hmm.
He's your guy for that, Lori Lightfoot. She's refinancing the debt. Talk to him. She's got real estate. You can refi. How about a reverse mortgage on City Hall?
Maybe he'd work it out for you. I'm sure.
What would be wrong with that? A reverse mortgage on City Hall. I think it would be good. I think it's a good solution to what is a really massive problem. All right. We got everything worked out. We got the protesters. Is Burrow still out there? I check in. Burrow still there?
He was marching with the teachers, right? Who were, we thought, on their way to the Thompson Center. Last we checked in with them.
Or City Hall, right? They would just kind of go down Randolph and get in
same
between
thing,
the two.
Right about
and,
there. Yeah.
And make.
They're supposedly on Michigan near Monroe. It is believed they will turn west on Randolph. So either heading towards the Thompson Center or towards City Hall. It's up in the area.
They can go to the Thompson Center and they could stand in front of that piece of public art and go, I don't know what this is either.
Can we sell this?
I wish they would.
This is a group field
trip. Make some money for teachers.
Right, well, sell the whole thing. The gigantic Thompson Center. I've said this before. I will say it again. If you're ever in a downtown building that overlooks the Thompson Center, get an opportunity to do that. It looks like a toilet. It's like a round thing on the seal of the Illinois. It looks like a toilet lid is on the top of that building. You can't see it unless you're in another building. And it's surrounded by buildings that are taller than it. So no one can see it except for people in those buildings. And then when you look down on it, it looks like you'd lift up the seal of Illinois and sit on the Thompson Center and then do what these politicians have been doing to us.
To us for decades.
For decades.
Generations.
Yes, exactly right.
Does look like that.
Right at us.
We have some listeners who are texting us and calling us to say they not fans of the blocking the streets at rush hour
either.
Thing.
Not either. I mean, there's a why inconvenience us?
Yeah, I mean, if you're already on the teacher's side, does that mean, you know, you don't get to go home to relieve your babysitter, to go get your kid, to do whatever you need to do, you know, whatever's going on in your life that you need to get to? I don't know that it helps you like them more, but then if you're already not on their side, I suppose you're even more agitated by that. If you feel like the asks are already there and they've been met and you're one of those, you sit in that camp, then maybe you're even more annoyed by it. But it seems like at rush hour, we are hearing from people who are a little perturbed by the whole thing.
Right. I'm already paying my taxes. I'm not using the service, and I am paying my taxes. The last thing I want is to be inconvenienced by it. I get it. I want the schools to be great in this town.
Me too.
I want the teachers.
I'm the product of the Chicago Public Schools.
To be well compensated. I would like a nurse in every school.
It seems reasonable.
And counseling services, or at least nurses available within minutes to any given school, right? I mean, I think that would be, that's reasonable as well. I do not think these acts all of this stuff, blocking traffic and the whatever they think is going to be a public display, is going to help win over support that's going to put pressure on the mayor. This actually, I think, benefits those who are like, oh man, what are you doing? So that's where that is. We have got the news coming your way in 2 minutes from Northwestern Medicine News. Kenan joins us right now from the greatest television show ever done about politics in America, and I don't think I'm overstating it, and I could just point to this. Every time I turn the TV on any of the 24-hour news channels for the last 5 days, Mark McKinnon, I saw you. You in your cowboy hat, walking next to whoever the biggest story of the day was in Washington, including before those 30 Republican lawmakers storming the Bastille.
Yeah, and 13 of those Republicans are on committees where they are actually allowed into the hearing.
So why did they tell you they were doing it?
Well, they, you know, they're frustrated. The Republicans are really frustrated because they're losing the facts war and they're losing the message war. And when you don't have the facts, fight the process. And so they ramped up this whole argument about this closed hearings idea, which, of course, was written under the rules were written by Republicans. And it's the same rules they had for the Benghazi hearings. But, you know, it's for the public at large, that's kind of a complicated stuff. So it sounds reasonable for them to say, why are they holding these hearings in private? Why can't we hear? What are they hiding? Well, they're doing it for a reason. They're doing it because it's a deposition and not a hearing. And they don't want witnesses to infect other witnesses by hearing each other's testimony and changing their stories. So, and they're going to release the transcripts later to everybody. And then they're going to have public hearings. So, It's much ado about not much, but I think it really just reflects a greater frustration, you know, starting at the White House. I mean, the White House is kind of beating up a lot of these Republicans saying, get out there and do something. And so, you know, Matt Gaetz, who we see a lot out there, who's kind of the tip of the spear for Trump, was out leading that charge. And then he had a bunch of Republican senators over for lunch. And so I think really it's more an expression of frustration than anything, because we took a real deep dive on our show this week on what we call the deep state, which, as you know, is kind of the entrenched permanent bureaucracy, and you know what that is and how does it manifest itself. And but one of the ways it manifests itself, we're seeing this week, is that it's striking back, that these career diplomats are coming to the Hill and despite being warned not to by the president, they are testifying. And so from all we hear, anyway, at this point, these are some pretty credible witnesses, particularly this Bill Taylor guy, who was, despite being called, you know, a partisan radical by the White House, he was appointed by my old boss, George W. Bush, and rehired, brought back in by Mike Pompeo, President Trump's Secretary of State, and he's a Vietnam War vet. So not a typical radical that you'd expect. But I also understand, as not just Republicans, but as part of the elected team going into government, what that's like, because you encounter a lot of people who've been there for a long time, who are going to be there after you, who think they know a lot more than you do, and in my case, they did. But you know, you have this friction between the elected people coming in and the people who are there permanently, and it's not new to Trump, although he's certainly refining it to a new level.
No bigger an anti-big state warrior than John Bolton is in negotiations to now sit down and testify. I have long believed the theory that John Bolton is behind a lot of the trouble the president has found himself in concerning Ukraine, especially anything that has popped since Bolton left in early September.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's no better, smarter, bureaucratic infighter than John Bolton. So, you know, he's great to have on your side, but man, you do not want him against you. And, you know, I thought the second he walked out the door, he was swimming like a big white shark around the White House. So I think it's going to be fascinating to hear him testify, because you know he's got a mighty big chip on his shoulder. And we already know from conversations we've had that he had a lot of concern about what was going on with Rudy Giuliani and Mick Mulvaney and this whole Ukrainian thing.
The irony is not lost here that John Bolton and a number of other conservatives have been behind a movement to get a guy just like Donald Trump into the White House, a populist, a guy who wants to stand up for conservative judges and conservative economic policy. Well, that's kind of out the window. But now that they've got their guy and he's not playing by their rules, they want to take him out.
Well, yes, you're exactly right. And you know, the problem for Bolton and others is that there's no... They have an ideology and, you know, some coherence to what they believe. And Trump just, you know, he said, we're going to get people out of here and out of there, and not really acknowledging or recognizing the complicated nature of those alliances and the historical nature of them. But just saying, I said, I'm going to get them out. I'm getting them out. And whether or not that, you know, but Bolton's point and others are making the point that, you know, by precipitously getting out, you're just creating a greater problem down the line. But Trump just hits what's right in front of him. And a lot of his followers and supporters out there are saying, great, we got out.
And another chapter opened in the last day. The Department of Justice says they are going to make criminal the investigation into the 2016 campaign, which means that they could subpoena Strzok or Page or maybe even Mueller. Where do you think it goes from here?
Well, if you kind of back away from this, I mean, you just have to say, Mr. President, you didn't lose this election. You won. And it's not very difficult. And most people recognize that a big part of the reason that you won is because the FBI and James Comey lit up Hillary Clinton on her emails and everything else at very inopportune times during the campaign. So, listen, we could have tons of investigations and maybe unearth some suspicious activity on the part of bureaucratic professionals expressing some sort of political intent. But it's just as easy to argue, or easier to say, that they hurt Hillary Clinton than they hurt Donald Trump. And the point is, you won. And it's 4 years later. I don't think a lot of people, other than the guy sitting at 6800 Pennsylvania, care about Peter Strzok or Hillary Clinton or any of this stuff from 4 years ago. We're worried about, you know, the future. Let's move on. By the way, I think this whole thing could backfire, and I just read an interesting article that it's too complicated for me to try and explain it. You would get it more quickly than I would, but maybe it's kind of a double reverse from Barr. Like, he's just doing it to appease the president, but this thing could maybe, you know, kind of fizzle badly in a way that kind of bites back.
Oh, I totally see this. If the Department of Justice wants to make this a federal case, which they just did, the rules of evidence would be in play. And then maybe you have to call Peter Strzok and Lisa Page up to testify publicly, or Robert Mueller up to testify publicly. And then he has to answer questions that he was reticent to answer in front of Congress. He won't have that luxury during a criminal investigation. And that could counter the White House's narrative that there's nothing to see here. He's totally exonerated.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So, you know, I think it's just going to be more affirmation for the American public at large that this is all partisanship, and they're really not doing the public business. And they would just, you know, whether you're Democrat or Republican, Washington, please just move on.
So back to the Democrats. New polls came out. One shows Biden way ahead of Warren. The other one shows Warren neck and neck with Biden. Has anything changed in the last week?
Not much, although there's, you know, more than one poll now in Iowa that shows Pete Buttigieg having moved into third place above Bernie Sanders. And I think that's significant because, as you know, the story out of Iowa is not going to be necessarily who wins. It's going to be who kind of upset the conventional wisdom and what's the surprise story. And it's not necessarily who runs first or second, but you know, Pete Buttigieg runs third in Iowa. I could argue that, you know, with say, Warren and Biden running first and second, arguably Buttigieg is going to get most of the coverage out of that because he's the unexpected factor there. And he's very much, I think, a natural candidate for New Hampshire. So he could blow into New Hampshire as kind of, you know, the comeback or the come out of nowhere kid. And that, you know, I think that people, even though Biden is, you know, maintaining some buoyancy, he's not adding to his vote totals anywhere, really. And it just seems so vulnerable. And I think Buttigieg, maybe Klobuchar, although she doesn't have nearly the war chest that Pete Buttigieg does. So, listen, Bernie's had a good couple of weeks. He had the good debate, had the AOC endorsement, had lots of money. So he's sticking around. Warren is in solid shape. Biden, you know, is got cracks, but he's still up there. So, yeah, I mean, I think the fundamental nature of the race is about the same, but Iowa's 100 days from now, and the key is going to be what happens there. And I think you could see a Buttigieg, Klobuchar, a Booker kind of thing breaking into that top tier, which could make it a story and maybe change the equation.
Is Biden in trouble with fundraising?
Well, yeah, big time. He's got $9 million in the bank as opposed to, I think, 24 and 30 million for Warren and Sanders. And not a lot of prospects to improve that because he's kind of soaked all the big donor money that he can. He's not a small donor fundraiser, and Sanders and Warren and Buttigieg all are. So not only does he not have a lot of money, he doesn't have prospects to raise a lot more either. So that's why he just sort of greenlit something he said he wouldn't do, which is to allow a super PAC to work on his behalf.
Really is interesting to watch the Democrats start to eat each other. Right. They're going after Buttigieg now for stuff that happened in South Bend, Indiana with the police force. He clearly does still have a deficit with African-American voters. And as you just mentioned, you go out of Iowa, you go into New Hampshire, but then you go right into South Carolina. And the South Carolina Democratic primary, it's really driven by the African-American churches. And you just see Buttigieg not really tracking there.
Well, yeah. And as you know, Ro, there's been a sort of historical concern, or, you know, I don't know how you characterize it, in the African-American community about gay issues.
Yeah.
You know, they're not quite as quick to embrace.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing. I noticed, and I think it was at the rally, you may have been at last week in Dallas, where he put a number of African-Americans in back of him, you know, in the crowd.
Yeah, I was there.
And it does seem like it's a bit of a strategy for the Trump campaign to say, hey, working class black men, I'm with you.
Sure. And he's got a great economic message to talk about how they're doing better than they ever historically have in terms of employment and wages. So he's got a strong argument there. The other component of that argument that I think is interesting is, like, oh, Elizabeth Warren can't win South Carolina. And my view about that is she's going to win it by winning Iowa and New Hampshire, just like all voters everywhere. Momentum and winning means something. And if somebody, I experienced it with George W. Bush. We were up in South Carolina, and this is obviously a Republican primary, so it doesn't relate to African-American voters, but it does to momentum generally and what happens with all voters, which is we were up 18 points in South Carolina the day before New Hampshire. We lost New Hampshire, and the next day in South Carolina, we were down 18 points. That was a swing of 36 points in 48 hours.
Here's the one thing we know for sure. A lot's going to change between now and February 3rd, the night of the first caucus.
Let's also remember that 100 days out in Iowa, in 76, Jimmy Carter was in 10th place, and John Kerry was sitting at about the same place. So a lot can happen in 100 days.
Mark McKinnon, he is from the circus. See it Sunday night on Showtime. Do not miss it. Best half hour. If you don't have Showtime, buy Showtime or steal your grandmother's password. Either way, you're in. Thanks,
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 man.
Bye.
See ya.
Lauren Lapka's got the WGN traffic right now, and it's a mess.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Ryan Burrow's out on the street with the CTU protesters as they are heading toward... Actually, they've now kind of found themselves in that plaza area in front of the Thompson Center right across the street from City Hall, right?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at right now. I'm standing on a planter overlooking all of them. I don't really know if there's much of a plan left, bro. Everything seems to be kind of breaking up. The police now maybe starting to move southbound on Clark. We don't exactly know why. I don't really see a lot of organization. Everyone kind of got to the Thompson Center. They're just kind of standing around right now. Police seem to be the only ones moving. So maybe they know something that we don't as far as any kind of movements for this crowd. But peaceful demonstration. Yeah, it did freeze up traffic quite a bit on Michigan Avenue, even in kind of around Lakeshore Drive through Balbo. Teachers obviously coming out. Teachers obviously making their voices heard. And what I've seen here at the Thompson Center is people coming down from some of these buildings, bringing out coffee, bringing out donuts for some of these teachers, showing their support. I don't know if the people in their cars waiting to get through are showing their support. But that being said, I have seen some at the ground level of people coming out and saying thank you to these teachers. So, they're definitely getting a little bit of a pat on the back from some people.
All right, I got about 10 seconds left, but it's thinning out now, right? Is that
it
what you're
is.
Saying?
I'm seeing police moving south on Clark, but I don't know why or where. If this thing's organizing anywhere else, it seems pretty stagnant at this point.
All right. Thank you very much, Ryan Burrow, on the scene for us on WGN Radio. We've got, coming up, the news for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.
Like Grubhub or one of those?
I just want them to deliver on time. That's what, you know what? I don't need a bunch.
Send them your picture, Rob.
I don't need a
hashtag
bunch of
sexy Halloween
love from them. I just want them to make sure that they know where they're going and they get there in time. So I'm not standing out there for 2 hours waiting for them.
I would just like them not to fee you to death so that when you buy one entree, it's actually double the price.
What is... what? Tomorrow, and Lauren mentioned this in her Lauren's List an hour ago, tomorrow is going to be, I just want to warn people, if you thought today was a little weird with the traffic downtown, with the protests and all that, and you may have that again tomorrow if they don't come up to a resolution tonight. We're told they're close, but who knows?
There's positive rhetoric, but they're not elaborating about the big issues that, like, class size and some of the other the aides and the other support staff that they're asking for, whether or not they've reached anything there.
They're tomorrow on the streets of downtown Chicago. If you are coming down, maybe you want to come down to hang out on a Saturday in downtown Chicago, go to the museums, go to, you know, whatever. There's tons of plays and stuff happening this time of year.
Yeah.
It is going to be a poop show of massive proportion because there is, as Lauren pointed out, a bar crawl.
Not just one.
But there are several bar crawls from River North to the West Loop all the way up to Logan Square. And that is going to create a string of drunken people. There will be people face planting in the middle of the street. There will be, by 3 o'clock, massive vomiting, I would imagine. I've seen this. I have seen this.
You participated in this. Let's be honest.
I have. Yes.
I've been part of these pub crawls, too.
I have.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm. But it starts at 11 a.m. 11 a.m.
That's too early. You just, come on.
A pub crawl at 5 o'clock, that's one thing. Or 6 o'clock. That's, okay, I get it. But 11 a.m., and then it goes 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then there's one from 6 p.m. to midnight.
Most of them are late, but yeah, there is a daytime one.
Yeah. 13 hours. You could pub crawl for 13 hours.
Oh, gee.
That's where you have to set up triage tents, like in River North. They should just take, there must be some restaurant that's get kind of right on the bubble there. They should just close it for the day and make it into a MASH unit. Beds, IVs, bowls, people dressed as doctors, sexy nurses, whatever it has to be.
Well, think about all the Hawkeye fans coming from the Northwestern game. Those party animals.
Yeah. Well, that's also, there's a lot of Hawkeye alumni here, too.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of family members that are Hawkeyes. Go
sorry.
Cats.
Sorry to hear that. So, I'm just warning you in advance.
Yeah, this is the weekend for the Halloween parties, and certainly when the adults enjoy the parties. But there's also a whole bunch of neighborhood trick-or-treating, like, you know, businesses that do trick-or-treating. That's all this weekend in all the, you know, the neighborhoods when they open up the doors to walk in Lincoln Park, the West Loop. I think Wicker Park's got one.
A lot of suburbs have it.
A lot of suburbs have it, too. And a lot of that goes on this weekend,
which is probably better considering it might snow.
Right.
Well, not tomorrow. It's not going to snow tomorrow.
On Halloween, I'm saying.
No, she's saying this weekend would be a great time to get some trick-or-treating in because you might want to stay out a little bit less time on Thursday, given the conditions that are expected
and
the snow that's potentially, or at least the cold.
I already had to put air in my tires. That change has already happened.
Do you know, that's funny. That happened to me, too. Now, is that,
it's like,
now,
that's when you know and you're like, no, it's coming.
Well, it's not that cold.
I know.
Why all of a sudden did my tires decide that they needed to go low?
They know it's coming. The tires know.
I feel like it was a cold enough jump.
My tires went low. I went high, but my tires went low.
That's not, is that what Michelle Obama recommends?
I think that's what they're talking about. I went to the Obama Amoco, which then you get, you know, he's got one now. It's, you know, part of his, he's trying to think, well, what am I going to do after being president? How am I going to make some money? So I went by the Obama Amoco and I got my tires, for 75 cents, I got my tires pumped up. All right, let's check up with, speaking of the roads, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening? Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Kim Gordon is, and you'll be hearing from her at the top of the hour. Then a Carnarvon Wagon rolling at top five at five. We got live music. Richard Roper is going to be here. We've got, let's see, what else can I tell you? Oh, I can't tell you anything else. Because it's a secret.
Tell us.
No.
Why are you keeping it a secret?
I'm doing my own bar crawl in the Carnarvon Wagon.
Pump crawl on the radio
station. What's your costume?
Just moving from, you know, it's funny because, you know, I mentioned we, for live music, we've got this band of kids here today. I'm assuming they're like tweens, early teenagers, something like that, by looking at them.
I just saw them in the kitchen, where there is a lot of beer being poured. So, whoa, kids, whoa.
Hmm.
Right. They weren't pouring the beer. The Carnarvon people were here for the Carnarvon.
Yeah, and I noticed all the parents left because all the parents are here with the kids. And the parents, like, just as soon as they smelled the beer, they moved their way down the hall.
They were all around the bar, for sure.
Yeah, to where the beer is. Because I'm walking around here with, I'm on DayQuil and Red Bull right now.
Great combo.
Oh, my gosh. Let me just say this. I'll be lucky to make it through the rest of the day.
Is that the new Four Loko?
That is what I'm on. I got the Gunky Gunks. Mm-hmm. And then so in order to combat the Gunky Gunks, I did the DayQuil. And that's supposed to stop the congestion. Then I do the Red Bull on top of that, the sugar-free Red Bull.
To give you some pop, some
right,
energy.
Right, just so I can return the energy that is lost by the DayQuil.
Veteran maneuver.
Right. And then, add that to everything else that I've ever done. And look out! I literally have called a private ambulance company to sit behind me right now and wait for the whole thing to go down.
Where's the defib?
I took it off the wall already. God, I hope nobody else needs it around here.
It's like pre-taped to your chest.
Yeah, I've already put it on. I'm ready to go. And then in the meantime, the parents are all out there, you know, getting schnockered. It's going to be something. But the parents, they saw me walking around with the Red Bull, and it's in a glass, and they were like, what are you having a cocktail?
Only Ro drinks Red Bull in a fancy cocktail glass with ice in it.
It's not a cocktail glass, it's a glass.
Whatever.
It's just a regular glass with ice.
It's a shot glass,
though. I see you drink them in cocktail glasses.
Well, I've done that, too.
I'm like, is he drinking already? It's like 4 o'clock.
I know. No. I saw that, too. That happened to me
last week when he did it. I was like, whiskey already?
No.
Can I have my whiskey, please?
Well, I like to ice down the Red Bull. I like to keep it super cold and a little watered down. That way I can take a little Red Bull and I can nurse it.
Is that Red Bull in that glass you're drinking from?
What did you think it was?
Well, it looked like a bourbon.
It looked like scotch.
What is he doing?
There's a bottle of scotch in your bar, in your office.
There is a bottle of scotch in my office, but I'm not drinking it on the air.
Well, here's the funny thing. Now we'll never know when he does because we're just going to be like, okay. So
I would like it right now, but I am not going to do. I have responsibilities here, people.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that I got to act like, you know, normal in front of the parents who were here.
Well, that's true.
You know, they're all staring around. They're all looking at this thing like, what goes on in here?
I know. I walked through the kitchen. They were all just staring at me. I'm like, what, did I say something? What did I do? Who did I offend? I apologize.
I, honest to God. It is really funny because there was like, all of a sudden, we're aliens or something. There was like,
those are humans that are actually talking on the radio. It's like, yeah, it's us. This is where we work.
I didn't think you looked like that. What do you think I look like?
Were the kids talking to you? Did you meet
the kids
the musicians?
No, they're like, yeah, no. They had no interest in me. They're teenagers. They're in their own world.
Right, exactly. Just want to know. They want to know when they get to start playing the music. That's all they're interested in.
708 Whiskey and Red Bull, actually surprisingly good. Should try it.
Don't tempt me right now. Because I don't think the DayQuil, the whiskey, and the...
Bad combo.
The whole thing's bad combo.
Mm-mm.
I'm hoping I can stay alive long enough to get to 7 o'clock.
Grow strong. Thank you.
And I'll be at the Ides of March show tomorrow night. Don't forget.
Ah.
Nice. Forget about that. That's a big deal. At the Genesee Theater.
Very cool.
And I'll be amped up on the Red Bull, the DayQuil, maybe the NyQuil.
You going to jump up on stage?
I am.
Do a little number? On purpose. Actually, yeah. My turn. Over here.
Give me that guitar, Jim.
I know this one. I can sing a tune.
Mark Farner is going to be with them from Grand Funk Railroad, and they want me to play the cowbell on American Band.
Got to do it.
Yeah. So I don't think I'll be doing that. I don't know. I'm just going to get up there. I'm doing the introduction. I'm doing, it's a 55-year anniversary.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to start by telling all of you I have DayQuil in my system and a lot of Red Bull. Let's get this thing going.
That'll get the applause going.
Who here's got whiskey?
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! Oh, my God. Does anybody here feel as sick as I do? All right. We have got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I'm really selling this thing, aren't I? From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, we've got Kim Gordon, and she's standing by with the WGN News, and it's coming your way in 2 minutes.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four. Three. Two. One.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Oh, we lost. Checking in at
number five.
A lot of audio today, so we got to move along here.
Yeah, Richard Roper
just stepped into the studio.
Hello. All right.
Teachers Union, they were, and the Service Employees International Union together today, because teachers are still on strike, more for SEIU now and more of positions for them than they are for the CTU issues primarily. Mm-hmm. And Jesse Sharkey was talking about all of this. Obviously, they were downtown. We were covering that throughout the afternoon. They were blocking traffic on Michigan Avenue, and then they tried to get on Lakeshore Drive, but the police turned them back, and then they ended up around City Hall between Thompson Center and City Hall, and they blew their vuvuzelas.
Well, they didn't have a note for Lakeshore Drive, so they were turned away.
Dear Mr. Policeman.
Yeah. We all have to go to the bathroom.
We figured that one out. I think when the police shouted back at them, "We will not be able to protect you if you go on to Lakeshore Drive," that was sort of a sign that was a bad idea.
They used the excuse of Charlottesville.
They did.
They said, the police said, hey, you saw what happened in Charlottesville. There's people driving cars here.
Yeah, that's right. And they were not stopping. So they have a lot of people.
We don't want anybody getting hurt. And I think at that point, teachers. See, that's the one thing about teachers who are protesters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are not people who aren't already telling people what to do, right? Yes.
They're rules followers by nature, and they
sort of
disappoint.
So you're saying this was a teaching moment?
I'm saying,
there's your drum.
God,
give him a drum.
Oh my God! Anyway, the point is, here's Jesse Sharkey at Anna's alma mater, Lane Tech High School, explaining that they're close but not quite there yet.
We had some good progress at the bargaining table yesterday. I'm not going to go into details, but I will say that we had conversations that hopefully can give us a path to a settlement. At the same time, though, I do need everyone to know that the resolve of our union, the public, the parents, and the city of Chicago is undiminished. We intend to achieve better schools in the city of Chicago. We intend to ensure that we have enough services to support our students. We have classes that are small enough that we can give effective attention to every student that we teach, and we intend to ensure that the conditions are working conditions, which are also student learning conditions. We want those conditions to improve. That's what we intend to achieve.
He was running out of breath there at the end.
Yeah, it seemed like there were very few words spoken by both sides today. And if I'm reading the tea leaves there, it just tells me that there are positive developments. Because this thing, you come really close to the center and you feel like you're almost there. I feel like that's when you're not speaking
much. Tone down the rhetoric. Let's
tone it down a little bit. Let's not say something that's going to anger either side.
And let's just hope they get it done.
Because I'm hopeful.
You don't want them doing marching tomorrow during all the pub crawls, or just get lost. People think that they're trick or treaters. A adult trick or treaters, because that's all you're going to see downtown tomorrow. Then on Monday
is going to be crazy town.
The president is going to be here. And the Obamas are going to be here.
Obamas arrive Monday for their Tuesday Foundation Summit. So they're going to be coming in. And they're eventually landing in Bronzeville, the president downtown, and at McCormick Place for the international meeting of the police chiefs.
Oh, not since Meet the Fockers have we seen such a...
it's going to be...
a spirit Garrett gathering.
Imagine if they...
Do with that headline what you will, folks. That was a movie where the two in-laws were very different. Robert De Niro on one side, Dustin Hoffman.
Checking in at
number four.
Rock legend Bruce Springsteen took aim at President Trump in a new interview with Gail King. She asked Springsteen about a recent rally in which the president bragged about his 2016 victory.
And I didn't need little Bruce Springsteen and all of these.
So how does little Bruce Springsteen, how did little Bruce Springsteen feel about that?
It's just frightening, you know, we're living in a frightening time. The stewardship of the nation has been thrown away to somebody who doesn't have a clue as to what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, the United States of America is in your care. Do you know what the stakes are? Do you know what that means? And unfortunately, we have somebody who I feel doesn't have a grasp of the deep meaning of what it means to be an American.
Yes, but what about the 2020 campaign?
I mean, I've kind of spent my chips on the folks I've helped in the past, but I always take it as it goes and see how it turns out or what comes up as we get closer to elections and things.
It's interesting. He sounds older when he's talking.
Yeah. Well, you know, Springsteen, who could lift a car, is only 3 years younger than Donald Trump, shockingly enough.
That's interesting.
3 years younger than Donald Trump.
And I might say Gail King, she's rocking a full denim jumpsuit looking great.
And the Oprah, mm-hmm.
She's got it.
She's got the mm-hmm.
She has a tremendous interviewer.
She's a wonderful interviewer. She's a great listener. Like, just like Oprah.
Yes.
I particularly like the Jesse Smollett. Interview
that interview was great. Juicy R. Smollett. Kelly was pretty darn good.
Yeah. Little Bruce Springsteen.
He said, but you see Springsteen, and he's still completely cut. And it is amazing. He throws himself into the audience every night.
Yeah,
I want to go to the Rockstar Cuts place, wherever they go to get cut.
Right?
Because, I mean, they're into their 70s and stuff, and they look, like, so good.
His dry cleaning bill is only, like, $7 because all the sleeves are ripped off all the denim. Springsteen, that's me. No, those are mine right there coming around the carousel. That's me. Those are Bon Jovi's over there. They're smaller than mine.
Oh, yeah, they are smaller. Yeah. Yeah. Bon Jovi is fun size, like a lot of rock and roll stars. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapka, find out what's happening on the roadways.
For the news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, our hero, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN TV.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Following the remix of Higher Love, DJ Kygo has created a song Whitney recorded back in 1990. Pentatonix has released a track featuring the late great singer on their new album, The Best of Pentatonix.
Mm. How about that? Christmas.
Pentatonix. Christmas. Right. Thank you, Lauren.
Quite different, I'm sure.
I don't think so.
Their Christmas album and regular song?
Yeah, I think when I hear those a cappella groups, I just figure that all Christmas music, even if they're singing other stuff, it's just like, okay, all right, I get it. I think it's supposed to be supposed to have a tree on fire or something.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gee. Oh, come on.
So they did Do You Hear What I Hear? right? Which was the first recorded in 1987 by Whitney. Well, not first recorded by her, but it was recorded by her back in 1987.
Bing Crosby back in the day.
Oh yeah,
right?
Yeah. That is an old song. So here you go. This is what this sounds like.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the night, shepherd boy.
Wow. She is great.
That's nice. I feel like I need to go shopping, though. All of a sudden, I'm panicking. People in the car right now.
What?
There's not enough time. Now we make it to the list.
That's a, I'd love that. So Carrie Underwood had a huge hit with that version of that too.
Beautiful voice.
But I like when that sounded like a very traditional sounding version of it there. Right.
Yeah. And then Pentatonix is back there humming or something. I don't know. I never didn't hear them in that. What do?
That's the point.
They take the time off. Is that they make the sound of all the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that wasn't actually musical instruments. No. That was
like
them.
Like Pitch Perfect 4. Like them. Remember the Pitch Perfect movies?
Wait, can you play that again now? I got to hear that again.
Yeah.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
Well, there's something in there making the dingy sound.
No, that's still
people. That's them. That's them.
That's still them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Large right.
Am I supposed to know who Pentatonix is?
Oh, man.
You don't have to, but they're probably the most popular a cappella group.
Yeah. Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
Only the most popular.
Other than Anna Kendrick and her friends.
Well, yeah. I'm saying, Aka awesome. Yeah. Popular. So. Well,
they're great.
Yeah, they're
best a cappella I've ever heard.
Yeah, here they are with Kelly Clarkson. That's them playing the drums.
Yes, they do all of that. Have you ever seen the Pitch Perfect movies?
You gotta watch the first.
There's sound of the drum.
It's like beatboxing.
Yeah. Remember Michael Winslow in the Police Academy movies back in the day where he could make all those sounds? The same thing. Yeah, that's your assignment for the weekend. Watch Pitch Perfect 2012, the original.
Kevin and I are not doing it.
Acapella is amazing. You should really check it out.
They have those sing-offs, right? Very intense moments in the original.
Oh, this is great.
Give me Ponce's acapella group all day over Pentatonix.
What was that, Men at Leisure or whatever the hell
that Here comes treble.
Here comes treble, right? Man, those guys are tough.
Now, what was the name of that thing?
Straight No Chaser. I've seen them. They're awesome.
Number two.
I just think like they're working. All right, listen to this. This is Kanye's newest. Finally, it's out.
Are you playing it backward?
Is that Kanye's voice? Wait, what?
There are instruments there. Are there? Maybe not.
This is Kanye with Men at Leisure.
Oh, my God.
Where they're all singing backwards. This is from his new album, Jesus is King. It finally dropped earlier today after he'd been working on it. That's what he came up with after he was working on it?
Well, mm-hmm. He's got a lot going on.
He's working through some stuff.
Okay. All right. He said he would not sleep until this album is out.
I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light, seeker with your life like. Riding on a white bike, feeling like a sight fight. Pressing on the gas.
Okay, well, that sounds like a little kind of...
Sounds like Kanye.
Traditional Kanye. I don't know what that
first
thing was.
I love the Kanye. He always rhymes the bright and the light and the sight. Those are his favorite rhymes. Almost every song at some point. Light, bright, sight, light.
All right, I got one more for you, ready?
Okay, let's hear it.
Close on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. Close on Sunday.
What?
You my Chick-fil-A.
I don't think that rhymes.
Hold the selfies. Put the gram away. Get your family. Y'all hold hands and pray.
I like the message, you know.
He likes to do those songs about how leave him alone at church, but then he always invites all the cameras and people with phones to come when he does his services.
Can you play that first one again for me? I'm sorry to go back.
The doodly-doodly-doodly-do song?
Yeah, because I didn't understand what was going on there. Yeah. I like that one. So an excitable gospel.
That one gives me anxiety.
Yeah, it does sound like a choir on Ritalin kind of a sound.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of music here on the top five today. I like it.
We're not done.
Oh, good.
We're not done.
There's more?
Well, kind of we're done. Well, okay. Listen to this.
Number one.
You really don't want to do this.
Hmm.
This is what every person must utter after failing to complete a tour of McCamey Manor. Russ McCamey owns and operates the most terrifying haunted house experience in America.
Hmm.
One, you're not allowed to attend until you watch a two-hour video, sign a 40-page waiver, create a safe word, pass a physical. It's featured on Netflix, Haunters, Art of the Scare, and on an episode of Dark Tourist.
Ooh, I'm kind of intrigued.
McCamey Manor is a see-to-believe type of attraction. The Summertown, Tennessee horror house is so extreme, no one has ever successfully completed the experience. Russ says his new haunted show, Desolation, is the most extreme haunt yet!
Wow.
I'm just scared of
look
this.
Look at Trubisky in the corner.
He's throwing long in third and eight. It's third and 17.
I wonder if they could customize it, right? Just to see what's scary to you.
No one's ever made it. Maybe they're just too tired after watching the video and taking the physical.
Like, forget that.
Like,
I would send Jamie
intense.
Lee Curtis down there. I bet you she could get through that 2-hour experience.
Well, and what are you signing off on? Are you allowing them to like actually touch and possibly hurt you?
Good point. 40-page waiver? What's in that?
Be one way to ensure that no one completes it if you've never seen again. That seems like a cheat.
Do you agree to psychological torture?
Do you think
waterboarding?
Do you think Do you think you have what it takes? If you do, it only costs a bag of dog food.
What?
Russ has 5 dogs. I suppose they chase you through the house.
Does Russ really have 5 dogs, or does he just have a thing for dog food?
And he says, if you complete the house, I'll give you $20,000. Nobody's done it yet.
I'm telling you right now, on paper, you are not going to win again. You're not going to win any money. But if you want to be that person, try a sport, okay, whatever. I'll start you off with 20 grand. Then every time you fail, you'll lose a card and you'll lose 500 bucks, etc. But trust me, you are not going to last 10 hours once the clock starts.
10 hours?
Oh, well, that's
you have no
the
idea
problem.
Of the kind of crazy, epic stunts within a horror survival world that you're going to be doing. It's going to knock your socks off.
Well, I've seen these movies where everybody has to stay overnight at some, crazy
house. I don't trust that guy.
I thought it was like a start from point A to point B kind of thing.
Guess 10 hours, in the house.
I think it is, but my guess is there is no actual point B. You can't get there.
Here's a local woman from Tennessee quitting the challenge.
Oh, no.
You got 5 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one.
I can't do it.
Say your phrase. Hear the whining. Say the phrase. Go.
Oh, my name is Carrie Ellen Van Horn from Valparaiso. And I am a complete and total failure.
Why would you?
I feel like that's an actress.
I'm not buying.
Plus,
I'm with Lauren on
do you
this.
Have to
I,
agree to like live stream your thing
I'd
and
check under
have
Russ's
everything?
Floorboards too and make sure that all the contestants have found their way home?
Yeah, I'd want a criminal background check on him.
For a second, I thought that was the wrong website. All right, I'm closing this thing up now. Goodbye.
The top five at five
to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Say the phrase, go.
Oh, my name is Carrie Ellen Van Horn from Valparaiso. And I am a complete and total failure.
All right.
We figured
some things out about that haunted house deal down in Tennessee that just ain't right.
Yeah, why you gotta besmirch Valpo like that?
Exactly. Way to represent.
All right. All right. Lake County Oktoberfest and beer hoisting competition people are here.
Sounds fun. Thank you for being here.
We only have a week left of Oktoberfest, right? Essentially. Yeah. Sort of the way that goes. I don't know. Maybe more. Sue Lipetri. Wait, hold on.
Lipetri.
She's one of your medications.
I know.
He's on a lot of cold medicine right now.
I'm on cold medicine, Red Bull, and I'm about to have a beer. And
you're welcome.
Right. I've already dialed 9-1 on my phone. I just have to hit the one before I hit the ground. That's where it is. And Sue Markgraf, who's a spokesperson for Lake County Fair Association. But now, and the Boston Beer Company is where Sarah's from.
Correct.
Okay, right? Okay. You're a beer representative?
I am.
Okay. Now, you've given us all, we're all in here now. You got the Lauren, you got the Kevin, you got the Anna, you got the Richard, you got the me. And now, we're supposed to, what are we supposed to do? Now, Lauren just got back from an Oktoberfest, so she probably knows what we're supposed to do.
Oh, so she's a professional.
Yeah.
I love it. we're stein hoisting today.
We're stein hoisting,
We're stein hoisting. Where literally, you just hold the stein out. Uh-huh. Hold it from the handle. You can't hold around the mug.
Okay,
you gotta
like
hold
that.
Just
hold
like that.
Now what am I doing?
So, you have to stand.
All right, wait. I'll stand. These guys got
to
be on mic.
I have to stand.
I'll stand while he stays on mic.
I'm going to stand.
Yeah, perfect. So your arm has to be parallel. Oh, they're already parallel to the ground.
Oh, my gosh.
No
elbow bending.
Hard. Now, no sipping, no spilling, and no bending. Those are the rules.
What do I do?
It's already shaking.
What am I doing? Here's what I always thought about this. It kind of reminds me of quarters. I was like, why don't you just drink?
I got to sit there and stare at the
drink.
Keeping it out there on me like that.
It's like the horse with carrot, right?
Yeah.
All right. You guys all went. You guys won.
Yeah, you guys are right. Okay, here we go.
Oh, wait. There's two. There's two left.
Left is going.
Going hard.
How is that possible? Lauren is able to do this for this time.
Trust me.
She's like, I'll tell you why.
She's from
practice. I can tell you exactly why. I'll tell you the deal. Lauren's exactly like Ant-Man. Per pound, she is the strongest human being you'll ever meet. She can lift like 6 times her weight.
True story.
Don't get a punch from her.
I'm not seeing much shaking either.
No.
She's steady.
With these kids, a couple of millennials.
I'm sweating now.
I want to see
Kevin. I'll tell you one thing. The beer's really good. You're missing out.
Kevin caves before Lauren, because I think he is. You're shaking. Lauren's looking totally confident.
Lauren's also one of those people who's just not going to lose. Right?
That's actually probably more.
She's just not going to give in. She's not going to give in.
I hadn't noticed that personality trait in her. Yeah, is there a competitive lack of. Okay, yeah.
She's got the hand on the hip and everything.
Kevin, just give in. You're eventually going to lose anyway.
I'll let Lauren win because she'll.
Yeah. Let her win. She would have won. I think we know this.
Okay. Let's find out.
How much more time do we have?
You guys can carry on. We can do this.
How long do they do this at Oktoberfest?
Oh, boy. Okay. Well,
she's leading. She's
cheating. Is there like a record?
Oh.
That's pretty impressive, though. Pretty
impressive for both of the kids.
Cheers. Come and set new records.
Yeah, right.
But there's people that could do this for like endless hours.
Honestly, I've not seen anyone get past 6 minutes. This
6 minutes.
Year.
Yeah. That's a long time.
I don't know. The longest recorded time is like over 19 minutes.
Whoa.
Even that,
but you guys
though,
were really close
that,
today.
But that's like a, you know.
That was 19 full seconds.
Do you win something when you get to be the longest stein hoister?
I'm sure a beer.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Which by that point has gotten completely warm and, you know.
A fresh beer. That's your
like
that's
a bird could land on the edge of the stein and take a sip. Get away from there, sparrow.
Yeah.
So,
well, it tastes wonderful. That's the most important.
Oh, doesn't it?
All right, hold on. I have to read.
I'm already down to the Samuel on mine, Kev, just so you know. That's the real competition.
Got a lot of work to get to.
So Saturday from 5 to 10,
yep.
There's authentic food,
yep.
Beer, entertainment, stein hoisting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Axe throwing.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, there should be a certain order of these.
A mobile escape room.
Yes.
Well, that again.
Cornhole. Mm-hmm. Giant beer pong.
Yep. Nice.
And live German bands and dancers.
Yeah. And the food is authentic, mm-hmm. homemade. German food.
Who's home? Are we making it?
It's home style.
Okay, all right.
Home
sounds
style.
Great.
Yeah, because I need to see those people before I decide
like
if I'm going to eat
it. Pork loin. Yeah. This is the good stuff.
Okay.
You go through that list, though. You listen to that. Music, German dancers, beer food, mobile escape room, mobile axe throwing, giant beer pong, cornhole, stein hosting, cussing. That's exactly the wedding I was going to have 20 years ago if it hadn't got called off, if you remember. That was what I wanted for the reception.
Gee, why did it get called off?
That's when the trouble started.
Yeah.
Engagement had a good run.
Right. Well, it's probably all good.
Yes, she's married. She's already been married to 3 Hollywood directors. It's $10 per person.
Yep. But for your listeners,
yeah,
$2 off with the code WGS.
Nice. Oh, look
thank
at that.
You.
Look
that's
at
that. Amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
So then it's lcfair.com for tickets.
lcfair.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like the letters LC Fair.
Right.
Right. Yeah. LCFAIR.
Lima Charlie. Okay.
Yep.
There you go. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Now, I noticed that now Lauren's taking her beer and going home.
She's got to go do the traffic.
She has to work.
She could, you guys. Actually, she's leaving now.
She could fit into that mug of beer. She could dive off the end of it. It could be a deep pool for her.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm. You know what? I think I've injured myself.
I think I'm too.
I think I tore a rotator cuff.
You'll only be sore for 2 weeks.
I feel like I have a flu shot. Did and we should have Trubisky not try this. Before
Maybe we should. Maybe it could help.
Build up that arm strength.
There we go.
I need to know from Sarah, how long can you go with this?
Oh, gosh. I'm embarrassed to tell.
Okay.
Yeah, but she just carried in 6 foot.
But I'm a great supervisor, and I cheer people on very, very, very well. So, yeah.
But you carried six, and I saw you in the break room with six, and you just went into the fridge, you did something, brought him back, and you kept all six.
Still a drop. That's
true. Six.
Yeah,
that's especially impressive in this station because you'll usually make it only with four by the time you get to the station. If you have six,
well, we did
depending on what aisle you go past, if you go by Kevin, you know, well, now you have
take
five.
Two of those. Yeah.
Yes,
I got a friend.
I think the toughest part is just keeping your arm straight.
Yes,
you could do it with a bent arm, right? Really easy.
Yeah,
and then when
totally.
You, yeah,
I don't know. I think it's actually
the Steins are so heavy.
I think the straightened arm actually sort of gives you some sort of like leverage or something. I don't know.
You look like you could be on my front lawn also when you're holding it out like that.
I do have a jockey outfit, so that'd be perfect. All right. I don't make a good jockey, I'll be honest. I don't have the body type for it. All right. Well, $8 if you use the promo code WGN. And where do people have to go? Where should they pull up to here?
Lake County Fair Event Center is in Grayslake. Easy breezy from the Metra to Milwaukee North to Perry Crossing, 7-minute walk, or accessible by major highways. Free parking. So for $8 and the cost of food and a beer and all that other stuff is free with the escape room, a minor charge. You got a really nice evening.
It sounds like it.
So plenty of parking. You don't have to walk miles to get to
tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
And the parking is right there.
And it's inside, 21 and over.
Okay. Oh, it's inside.
It's inside. It's not outside in a tent. So if it's raining or, you know, chilly, don't worry. Come on in. Have a beer.
Nice and warm.
Nice and warm.
$10 a person, but for our listeners, $8 a person.
$8. Yep.
Wait. You're going to do indoor axe throwing?
Yeah, indoor axe throwing.
You're very concerned about that.
Go to our social media page.
I've seen it. You know, you get like a big side of a...
Yeah.
Piece of wood, mm-hmm. and then you get all these drunks that go up there with the axes, and they're all like, I can do that.
Mm. Yeah.
And then next thing you know, Becca's showing up, I can do that.
Give me the axe, Brad and Chad.
There is quite a line.
And are they real axes? Yeah. Can we just clarify that?
Yeah, they're real axes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
They are. Yes, they are. Wow. The escape room, you want to go, when that is free. The axes are, I think, 5 for $5 and 10 for $7.
Is the escape room next to the axe throwing?
Yes.
Or it should be a little bit of ways, I think.
And
maybe.
It's a small...
I made it out! Whoa, I'm in the axe throwing path.
That it's a small trailer, and you and your stranger friends get 20 minutes to get out.
All right.
As long as you do the axe throwing before the Stein holding, I think you'll be good, because otherwise you get that wobbly arm.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
for planning purposes, I think that's the right way to do
right
it.
To your foot.
Yeah.
Remember when we all did the escape room, Ro? How that whole terribly that worked out.
It was just all of us yelling at each other for 30 minutes.
It sounded very much like this bit right now.
Pretty much.
It's exactly what it sounded like. All right. All right, well, this sounds, with the exception of the axe throwing, that's not like in the middle of the room, right?
No, it's not.
It's like axe gets wild. You know, gets like, hey, broken arrow.
Heads up. Broken arrow.
Well, help. Little help. Can you throw that axe back here?
Mine now. It's in my yard.
Toss it through the room.
Damn kids with their axes.
Down in front.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Do the Lake County authorities know about this?
Yes, they do.
All right.
This sounds like
they
a
fun.
Like a hoot.
They do know.
It is hoot. And it's last year it was packed. It was just so much fun.
And how many killed last year?
None.
Okay.
No, all right. Everybody survived.
All right. That's okay. Well, then, is this the second year of this? How long
this
has it been going?
This is the second year.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So it's going strong.
Second annual.
Right. So,
Second annual.
So the first one, they just got through it. Right?
Yep.
They got there. They were fine. The 10:01. Close the doors. Close the lights. It's like that scene from "It's a Wonderful Life." You know, they're watching the clock go. All right, we gotta go. No more axe throwing.
You always get one Weisenheimer. Let's combine the giant beer pong with the axe throwing. Axe pong.
Is it a ping pong ball? Or what kind of, is it a
it's
beach
like
ball?
A,
what is it?
Like a ball ball.
It's like a ball ball.
It's a ball ball.
Kind of okay. like a volleyball, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a volleyball.
If you could dodge a beer pong, you could dodge a wrench.
Yeah, dodgeball. Like, yeah.
It'll turn dodge into ball, dodgeball.
Giant ping. Yeah. Yeah.
It's right wow. by the Sam Adams tent.
So. I think, it's you right know what? By the Sam Adams tent. So rarely in my career have I ever believed I'm being punked. And I think right now I am. But go out and find out for yourself if this is real. Lake County Oktoberfest and Beer Hoisting Competition tomorrow, 5 to 10 p.m. And it is at the Lake County Fairgrounds and Event Center, 1060 East Peterson Road in Grays Lake. Yep. Just put it into your computer or
easy
your
greasy.
Waze or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And it's lcfair.com.
Yes, and on social media, there are a ton of photos. People want to go on and look and get more information there, too.
Is parking free?
Yep, oh, parking is free. So and you don't have to walk 5 miles to get to the event
How
center.
How great is that? Okay,
that's awesome.
And in case people are really, really excited for the Stein hoisting, we'll be doing it from 6 to 9 p.m. every single half hour with, of course, Sam Adams, Oktoberfest. So.
Ooh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. We'd like to thank Sam. And I wonder how long Sam Adams could have done this for himself.
He still has the record.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, 19 and a half minutes.
We'll give him the record.
Right. Because isn't he on the? Isn't he like hoisting a Stein on the bottom?
Of course. Yeah. Yes, raising one. Yeah, he's been doing it since 1984.
Yeah, so that's the longest one ever.
Sam Adams is first, and then Affleck and Damon second and third.
Well, here's Lauren Lapka, who did it for like 2.5 minutes.
She did.
Can't believe that she did it. But here she is with the traffic and whatever all the else is going on.
Well.
Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis. It's a Friday afternoon. Carnival Wagon has rolled. The weekend is upon us. We've got some live music coming up. We got a band of kids who are like 14, 15 years old.
I hear they're live incredible.
Music. Right.
They won some big competition.
Yes. And so we're going to find out what really happens there. And we've got their parents are here. And their parents actually look stunned and amazed by what they're seeing here. I've just noticed cool. that the parents are like calling. I think one of them tried to call authorities earlier to say, "Do you know what's going on over there?"
The beer hoisting got them.
Yeah, I can't believe what they're looking at. The name of the band, by the way, is Cool Plant Names, and they'll be joining us a little bit later on the 6 o'clock hour. Richard Roper is here. We got a bunch of movies that we need to talk about. Other things you can do this weekend
for sure.
And there is there's a really really. Really good movie that just opened this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and then there's one that's really, 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 really not.
It happens.
Yeah, so he'll tell you which to go to and which to avoid. And the Chicago International Film Festival is happening.
A lot of stuff happening with that, and we talked to you about a couple movies yesterday. Another movie, Black and Blue, coming out. We'll talk about that as well. Could be a fresh review of that. Remember Tyrese Gibson?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
He's in this one.
Who could forget him?
Naomi Harris, she's in Moonlight and some of the Pirates movies. So Black and Blue.
Right,
and she's a cop, so she's in blue,
mm-hmm.
but she's black, so the movie's called Black and Blue.
All right, we'll find out
that's
if that's
set up there for you.
Yes, it's a very of the moment kind of a storyline. And I would like to go back through. I know the answer here, but I would like to go back through why we have to sit through 2 hours and 40 minutes of Thomas Edison being mad at George Westinghouse,
and then Nikola Tesla shows up and says, "I'll show you."
it's like my worst like high school slideshow that you'd have to sit through is what it sounds like to me. But we'll find out. Maybe it's redeeming. Perhaps
it is one of those movies where they have to keep calling each other by their name, so you know why Nikola Tesla. You'll never make anything of yourself.
Wait a minute.
Motor cars and electricity are separate things, Nikola Tesla. And you, Westinghouse, what kind of appliances do you have in your future?
Yeah,
we get it.
Maybe it would be better than the movie. We'll have to see.
I don't think so.
I think the whole premise just seemed really difficult.
Based on what I know.
Put your brain around.
Yeah.
The current war.
That's what that's called. Honest to God, even when the first commercial showed up on television.
Mm-hmm. You're calling it out.
I was watching it. I'd rather watch one of those Shriners Hospital commercials than watch that commercial after it's on.
They tried to jazz it up, make them look like they're going to fight. Because like Benedict Cumberbatch, you're like, ooh, Doctor Strange, he's going to be like a superhero. And the lights are crackling, I'll show him, then locomotives going by.
Are there any fight scenes at all?
Yeah, when they hire the lawyers, that's like the most violent thing that happens.
Oh.
When they retain their barristers.
Bummer.
Oh, my God. All right. I just got ahead of myself there. That seems unfortunate.
Know. We could still be saying it's great.
Okay.
Those are the elements, so to speak.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think. I'm telling you, I can just tell from the commercial. You know how I am, Rich. I see the commercial or I see the trailer and I go, hey, this must be what this is. And unfortunately,
you're not right, as they say, often. So, you know.
Exactly right.
Often you've got it nailed.
Yeah. So that's what that's all about. All right. So everybody calm yourselves.
Take it easy.
Got all of that Voice coming away in the 6 o'clock hour. It's going to be a ton of fun. But first, Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes. He is so that is what. These kids are here. Cool Plant Names is the band. Live Music Friday. They're 15 years old.
I know it.
They have been playing a school of rock together for years, and now they've started their own band. They got two albums. They got an EP and a full album coming
Amazing.
Out this year.
Nice.
And they won a big Battle of the Bands contest at the Arcata. And And now... they're starting to play bars, and they're 15 years old.
Oh, now, come on.
I swear to God, they are.
Careful.
Yeah. That's good. Right, exactly.
Get in trouble that way. We've seen this movie before.
I took the parents back just a few minutes ago to see the Knarble Wagon.
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez.
And one of the kids from the band came back, and we have a White Walker, Johnny Walker.
Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones special edition,
yes,
right? Yeah,
exactly. And the kid immediately called it out.
Oh, geez.
I'm like, this kid is in the exact right business.
Here we go.
Friends.
Oh, boy.
Rock and roll.
This is going, yeah.
Cool Plant Names?
Cool Plant Names.
They defeated Impossible Burger, I believe, in the... I like that name for a band.
It cool is plant a good
names.
Name.
They're probably trying to think of cool plant names. And then somebody just go
them.
With cool plant names.
We'll find out from them a little bit later
Teaser.
On. Yeah, when we get to it. All right, Kev, you got to explain what just happened. A judge just injuncted something that was already injuncted.
Essentially, the ruling just says that while the strike is going on, no CPS schools will be able to compete in state playoffs. Mm. There's cross-country state tournaments ongoing, tennis. In terms of football, the way it's going to work for football is if a team had been off for 7 days, out of school for 7 days or more, they cannot compete until they've had three separate days of practice. Meaning, if it ends Tuesday, that will allow teams to practice, you know, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon to make them eligible for the first round, whether it's Friday or Saturday. So, in terms of football, I'm not prioritizing over the other sports. I'm just saying the ongoing stuff this
weekend.
Well,
I am, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. But the cross-country runners had filed a lawsuit from Jones College Prep against the IHSA and Chicago Public Schools. The judge says, no, you cannot compete, end of story, while the strike is going on. So
and they had a state regional event this weekend. It sounded pretty important, that's why they took to this point where they tried to get the judge to say, no, please reverse this,
right?
And did not rule in their favor. That's disappointing.
It is very disappointing. The good news on the football side of things is that they obviously still have some time, and a team like Simeon, who we've been talking about, who is 6-1, they only have 7 games, and normally you have to play 8 games to be eligible for the playoffs. The IHSA ruled today that they're going to grant a waiver, basically, for this year, saying Simeon, if the strike does end by, it would have to be either Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on when Simeon's scheduled. If they are scheduled for a Saturday playoff game, the strike could end as late as Wednesday, depending on the time.
You got to time it because they have to have three full practices because you don't want to send the kids out there.
Which makes sense. I'm fine with that. You're not going to have kids sitting around.
Why that rule's in place.
So the football stuff in that regard, their hopes are still alive in terms of playing in the first round. But for anything ongoing this weekend, the CPS athletes can't play.
That's terrible.
Bluntly sucks.
It does.
You saw the athletes at City Hall today trying to meet with Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, and I just saw the looks on their faces. It was the Simeon football players, and they just look so bummed.
Right.
Well, there's also things like, and obviously the classes themselves being most important, but there's things like various grants and scholarships and things you apply for, which have deadlines, which students often work very closely with teachers and advisors in school, not just at home. To get the to meet the deadlines for applications and things like that, I'm sure some academic competitions are probably going to get affected as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said they had ACTs scheduled for this weekend.
All of that's out.
Thank
and
God.
You think about
student
might be celebrating now. I wasn't ready anyway, but then you got to sort of get ready at some point, and they need to reschedule it.
Right.
And then you also have people who are complaining that they are applying for colleges right now, and that is a highly competitive situation because they don't necessarily make excuses for you because you are in the Chicago school district.
No,
when you're competing against students from all across the nation
and
for
the world,
difficult.
times.
Spots.
Yeah,
now, Lori Loughlin has a YouTube series that will help you with this. Geez. I'm going to send that to the kids.
To help with what?
Uncle Jesse will bring it.
And
well,
Becky,
Felicity is out, so she can help.
Right, and,
she knows a thing or two about getting in.
Yeah,
some good behavior time there.
Exactly.
Cut
we're going to have
shirt.
From
we're going to have Lori work it out for you.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of this? Is a great Felicity Huffman. They got that was a TMZ or somebody got a picture of her walking around the track at the low security federal prison she was at in Northern California. And she had her hat on. She still looked like a Hollywood star. It looked like
she wore it best.
Yeah.
It was like Felicity Huffman or Marge the Bank Robber. Who wore it best?
It's like in U.S. Weekly, which is what I call Us Magazine,
exactly,
because it's a very important national periodical.
It is.
In Us Weekly, they show people like in their sweatpants going to the
They're
grocery
just
store.
Like
stars.
Us.
Yeah. They're just like us. Here's Courtney Cox.
They got a parking
fueling
ticket.
Fueling up at the gas station.
And sometimes you see them without the makeup and you're like, oh, wow. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So they are just like us, right? That's cool. That's good. I like that. I think that's important that they're humans. They're not superhuman. But that's what. But Felicity Huffman still looked like that. Like she was going to the Jewel.
She knew the
except
cameras
she
were
was
there.
Just going around a going around in a circle. She had like expensive gym shoes on, and it's, I don't know.
She'll have some stories to tell.
Fit well, but she had to give that the garb back. That's the property of the prison.
People the shoes, were the shoes too.
People were wondering. Yeah, I think you got to leave all that. You know how it goes.
Or do you bring your own shoes?
Come on, you've seen every Ocean's movie. It starts with you come out, you get your envelope, your toothpick, your gold watch, $14 in cash, right? One comb,
exactly.
One watch.
You go to the bus stop and you wait.
Yeah, one matchbook, no matches. You walk out, and then your buddy's Edward Norton's waiting for you. You know?
All right. Well, I'm very upset about everything right now.
Well, it's they
it is a
get
bummer.
There. It feels like they can get there.
You're right. It feels like maybe this weekend there'll be the breakthrough they need. Certainly was really good rhetoric at the end of the day today, or at least positive, I guess you could call it, from both sides. But wow.
All right.
I think before you know it, Snead will have an item about Lori Lightfoot and Jesse Sharkey breaking bread at Gibson's Italia or something like that.
That'd be a good sign if you see that.
Sightseeing. Cup. I want Cup to come back from the dead and write that article.
Come on.
All right. All right. Let's talk about the movies that you can go to this weekend.
Sure.
I would like to remind people Chicago International Film Festival is going on. And, you know, we talked about this. Once Upon a River is playing. We have seen this film. It's a Chicago filmmaker. It's her first appearance in the Chicago International Film Festival, but she's been in all the other major ones this year with this Once Upon a River and done really, really, really well. And there, it's playing tonight and tomorrow, I think at noon.
Tomorrow afternoon, yeah. So you get tickets for the tomorrow.
Once Upon a River, if you want to go see that. Really, really cool. All right, so if people want to go see a musical comedy about Adolf Hitler, you can go do that too, right?
That's
not a musical comedy, but it's a comedy. Jojo Rabbit. Is a 3.5-star film from Taika Waititi, the director, New Zealand-born director of Thor Ragnarok and some other great films. And he not only directs and co-writes this World War II satire, he stars as Adolf Hitler, the imaginary friend of little Jojo Rabbit, a 10-year-old boy in Nazi Germany who wants to join the Hitler Youth. And this all plays out as a satire. It really kind of lampoons bigotry, and sometimes in a very serious way and sometimes in a very funny way. Scarlett Johansson plays little Jojo Rabbit's mother, who on the appearances and on the surface walks the streets of Germany and says Heil Hitler, but in reality has hidden away a 16-year-old Jewish girl in the attic, very much like the Anne Frank story. Thomasine McKenzie playing the little girl. And then Jojo Rabbit, who thinks he's a Nazi just because he's 10 years old, he doesn't know any other world, discovers the 16-year-old girl, and then they develop a friendship where they really learn. Well, she teaches him more than anything
else.
You
really like this movie.
I love this film. Yeah, and I know it's people go, oh my gosh, are you telling me this is a comedy about Hitler? And as we've talked about, it's not the first time we've seen satires of Hitler. If anybody deserves to be skewered by humor, among other things, it's Hitler and the whole bigotry and the hatred of the genocide perpetuated by him. But in this day and age, it's a pretty bold move for a film to go forward this. And I give Sam Rockwell, the Academy Award winner, and Scarlett Johansson a lot of credit, because if they don't agree to appear in this movie, it probably doesn't get made. You need some star power. You go, okay, I know those names. So take a chance. If you want to, you know, I know it, you think, I'm going to go see Jojo Rabbit, but I you'll be rewarded. If you love good movies, smart movies, and really funny films, go see Jojo Rabbit.
All right. All right, now there's this movie where It's like a history lesson and a science lesson, and it's the kind of movie that my 10th grade science teacher would have made me go watch about Thomas Edison.
Yes.
George Westinghouse. And then Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
The current wars, and there's some argument between alternating current and direct current.
Exactly.
And I didn't even know
AC/DC.
And I thought for a while there, I thought this could be cool if it's a story of AC/DC and Bon Scott and the Angus and the Thunderstruck.
That would have been better
for the Sox in 2005. But this is exactly what you said, and it sounds like a history lesson, and unfortunately, that's how it plays. And there have been books written about this that would probably be fascinating if you're really into that stuff. And there's been some really good books about Nikola Tesla and all of his amazing inventions, but it's just really hard to translate. And they tried to make it into this thriller and this, good versus evil, or not really good versus evil, but ego versus ego. So Benedict Cumberbatch plays Thomas Edison as the worst person ever. He's horrible to his employees. He's got a huge ego. And some of this was true. He was a genius, obviously. Loved publicity. He liked to put his name. He was like the Trump of his time. Edison was on everything. His name was on everything. Anything that he put out there, you were going to see the name Edison. It was his company. He hired Tesla. He wouldn't put up with Tesla because he doesn't like anybody who might be almost as smart as him. And George Westinghouse was a more practical businessman, but also a man of science himself. And he was the one who said, I believe that alternating current is a cheaper, more efficient way to light up the country with the light bulbs and get people home.
Which is what we have in our homes.
Which is what we have.
Yeah.
And Edison was more, he was so focused on direct current, which he used to light up a few blocks in New York City. But you're going to have stations all over the place.
Generators
and stuff. Yeah. Very expensive.
And batteries.
And as I mentioned, they show this in the movie, and this is actually true. Thomas Edison started a smear campaign against George Westinghouse, saying his AC alternating current would kill human beings who came into contact with it. And he would invite the press out to his barn, and he'd bring a horse out there, and he would electrocute it with AC current.
Oh, my gosh.
He did it like 13 times. And then people were like, well, that's a horse. And he'd always say, listen, the horse was going to go anyway. He was near the end. And then he did it with goats and other animals. And he even helped develop the first electric chair, which at the time was considered a humane way to execute prisoners who had been convicted of heinous crimes, because it was a really bad run in the 1870s for hangings. A lot of hangings. They weren't. Yes, a lot of heads were popping off, and the legs were still kicking.
Yeah,
so the hangings weren't going well. So he actually helped.
That happened to Saddam Hussein.
Yeah,
yeah, that didn't go well.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
Wow, what a shame. But in real life, the first man to be executed in the electric chair that had been partially, with the advisement of Thomas Edison, did not go well. He cooked. It took like 9 minutes. Yeah, so they delve into that. You're like, I thought we were into this thing about the AC versus the DC. All of a sudden, we're seeing horses being electrocuted.
Oh, God.
No animals were harmed in the making of the film.
No, thank you.
CG horse.
The only fascinating, to me, the most interesting thing is when the two of them are competing to see who's going to provide all the electricity and light up the 1893 World's Fair here in Chicago. Which, spoiler alert, ended up being Westinghouse, because his way was cheaper and more efficient.
And did he put his name all over everything?
Not as much as Edison. Edison's plan was the Ferris wheel that George Ferris invented for the 1893 World's Fair. Mm-hmm. Edison's sign was going to be bigger than the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, the nice part is that Edison's name's now on an indictment in the the corruption case here in Cook County.
Right.
Yeah, so we got that going.
Well, the Edison Lighthouse had a one-hit wonder with Love Goes Where My Rosemary Grows, I believe, in 1970.
So you didn't.
So I gave 2 stars to the current war. I think it's going to come and go. And I mentioned this as well. This movie actually was made about 3.5 years ago and then didn't get released because it was a Weinstein Company production.
So that's why? Not because it sucked?
The one thing the monster was a master at was promoting and marketing, as he created Oscars campaigns modern, and he was already positioning it as an Oscar contender. People started seeing it about 3 years ago and said, so it was easier to shelve it, also, but a lot of it was just caught up in, bookkeeping and accounting things. Not that, we were never going to show this movie. It's like, who owns this movie? They had to take the name of the company. The company doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It wasn't sold?
Bob was, is still out there. Some people say he may have known about things that are going on. It's a whole other story. But, there were complicated financial dealings after that.
Got
as well.
It.
All right. We'll come back. Lauren Lapka, what's happening on the roadways?
All right.
Rob Kahn Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper's here. Live Music Friday coming up after the bottom of the hour news.
Yep, and I have this to say. This week on Chicago's Best, the team is cooking up a special treat for Halloween on Chicago's Best Trick or Treat, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
So we already told you about Jojo Rabbit. You like that? 3.5 stars.
Yes.
The Current War, not so much. 2 stars.
Right.
Another film coming out this week in Black and Blue.
Black and Blue stars Naomi Harris, who's an actress who's been around for about 15, 20 years. Always really good in supporting roles, movies like Moonlight and Skyfall, some of the Pirates movies. She plays, this is one of the things they like to do now in cop and private eye type movies. They make them Army veterans or former SEALs or something. That way that explains their amazing skill set, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's a New Orleans native. She's served two tours of duty in Afghanistan. Now she's back in her home city, and she has joined the police force. She's a rookie cop. And she's only 3 weeks onto the job. 3 weeks into the job, riding around with her partner, and she stumbles into a ring of corrupt cops and actually sees them executing a couple of teenage drug dealers. 3 weeks into the job, she stumbles into this corruption. Now, at that point, it's already been established that, you know, in her old neighborhood, they don't trust her anymore, her former friends and neighbors, because she's a cop. And, you know, her fellow cops keep saying, you're black, but you're really blue now. Your real loyalties are to blue. And you hear about this all the time. But now the cops are after her because her body cam captured the whole horrible execution of these two teenagers. So the corrupt cops are chasing her. They're gotten on the channel 19 on the radio, got to avoid the dispatcher. So we got to hunt her down. But no one's going to, the neighborhood's going to help her either because they don't trust her until she finds Tyrese Gibson. He's got a convenience store, and maybe he might help, but the cops don't trust him either, even though he's a law-abiding citizen.
No, it's me. It's me. What
the hell is going on? Is that blood?
I need sugar.
Look, I don't know what's going on, but you can't be in here.
I've been shot.
What? What do you mean?
Can I use a phone?
Who shot you?
Can I use your phone?
You gotta go. I don't want no parts of this. The police is riding around here all the time. They'll help you.
It was the cops that shot me.
Oh, boy.
So it's kind of an intriguing setup, and the cast is really good, but it just turns into a lurid, gratuitously violent thriller with stereotypes on both sides of this, from the corrupt cops to the pimps and the thugs. So it's a wasted opportunity. 2 stars for Black and Blue.
Oh.
So go see Jojo Rabbit.
Oh.
Jojo Rabbit.
Oh. All right. I was so looking forward to all of this.
Well, next week I'll talk to you guys about The Irishman.
I'm dying to hear about,
How about that?
Nobody can wait for that. That's like the entire world is waiting for that film.
There you go.
Right now, let's check in with the news. Kim Gordon. That's the Rob Kahn Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes. A special treat here for us
cool
this evening.
Plant Names is the name of the band, and you can find them on the Facebook, where you can find everything that happens in the world, including misinformation.
Including things you don't want to see or hear about.
Cool Plant Names
Band.
But
this is not that.
And let's meet our cool plant names. We've got on the lead vocals and lead guitar, Charles McNulty. On the bass, Jeremy D'Onofrio. And the drums, Jack Mitchell. Now, I'm going to start with you, Charles. How old are you?
15.
15. He's 15.
He's 15.
15.
Oh, my gosh.
And Jeremy, how old are you?
I'm 15 as well.
Yeah, 15.
15.
Do you have learner's permits yet?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
All of us do.
All right, good. And Jack?
Your parents excited about that?
You got to ask them.
Yeah. Okay. We will.
There's about 200 people, adults,
nervous
out here. I don't know how many parents you've got. But I know it's a modern era. You know, I had a lot of parents, too.
A lot
too
of parenting,
you know,
scenarios that
you never
don't
know
always fit.
And Jack is also 15, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Jack's
cool
on drums.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Now,
gotta watch out for the drummer.
I want to understand. They're 15.
See, and now, did you hear that nervous laughter?
Mm-hmm.
Jack's a problem.
Yeah. All right. And where are you guys from?
We're from Naperville.
All right, the home of rock and roll. And you've been together. One of your parents was telling me that you guys have been in basically school of rock for years together, right?
Yeah, for like about 5 years, we've all been playing music together, and it's just been a great experience. So we just decided to make our own band.
So that system really works.
Yeah, it does. We learn probably everything we know from there, and
wow,
it's really great. It's a really great program.
I just thought that was a goofy movie. And it turns out
I just thought it was fun. It's turning out real musicians like you guys. That's awesome.
And so is there like a separation where you can be honest about it now, because you're basically, you're on the Rokon show with Anna DeVlantis. You've already made it. Forget about it. It's all uphill from here. But you never have to go back to that or Bandcamp or any of those things. Do they separate out the people who really have the writing capability and the artistic capability from the kids who can just play the triangle like me?
Yes, they do. There's the performance group, which starts for kids around ages 9 through 18. And then there's house band, which is like an advanced level of School of Rock, which all three of us were actually in. Mm-hmm. And then there's the highest part of School of Rock, which is All Stars. And Jack Mitchell, our drummer, actually made it on All Stars and got to tour around the whole country.
With other kids from, did they create the bands then?
School of Rock is like a worldwide program. So he got to play with kids all over all over the world.
But what about your band? Did School of Rock kind of assemble you guys, or you already knew each other and you kind of entered?
No, this is our own thing, but we did meet through School of Rock.
Nice.
All right. And so now this is all your own material, right?
Yes, it is.
Write your own songs.
And then you went and you performed in a showcase, and you won a Battle of the Bands kind of competition, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Huge. Just like in September, like last month.
We played at Cantini, and it was a great event. We had a good time.
All right.
It was bands up to the age of 24. You could be under the age of 24, and everybody competed, and you guys won the whole thing.
Yes, we did.
Wait, now, were you like mean mugging each other in the green room and stuff? How was that? But like, because you never know. Like, have you seen that Queen movie?
Uh-huh.
Which I don't know. I'm not 100% sure that any of that stuff really happened. I mean, after it started, that's all history. But that whole like, he was just hanging out. He was his own guy, and he decides he finds his band that kind of needs a new singer, and he's just going to step in. He meets him, in back in the parking lot. And he's gonna kind of do that thing. I mean, was it? When you're at this age and you got all these young artists, was everybody cool with each other at that, or was it a little rough around the edges? What was that like?
I think we all learned to be accepting of every style of music and everybody who wants to do music, because music is what makes life great. And being able to accept other people doing that is like a great thing to have.
I got it. Just, that is an excellent answer to that. I just want to tell you that, Charles. Excellent answer.
It is.
All right.
Good for you.
So what do you want to play for us?
This is going to be our first tune.
It's an original called Just Take a Fresh Breath of Music, because, why wouldn't you?
So true. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Cool Plant Names.
I believe you're awkward with praise.
eyes. That's just annoying and unkind. Just take a fresh breath of music. Let all your problems go away. Decide yourself and no one else. Turn all your issues into art.
Dick Clark, I'd be walking in there going, what a fresh sound these kids have. Right
they now. Do have a great yeah. sound.
That's
really so awesome, guys. Oh, talent. 15.
Cool plant names. Yeah, they're 15.
15.
But they're 15 going on
they're
24.
They're sophisticated people.
Yeah, because when they walked by the Carnarvon wagon earlier, they seemed to be able to identify everything. So that was only slightly alarming to their parents. So I think we're good. I think
they're well on their way.
We'll see what happens.
Rock and roll stardom.
All right, and don't forget, they've got a new album coming out called Dinosaur RV Park. Is that right?
Yes, that is. It comes out on November 8th.
Wow. Where'd you record that?
In our friend's basement.
Where all great albums are recorded, yeah.
Yeah, his name is Gavin Williams, and he just did a great job.
He produced it for you?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Did an amazing job.
There you go. You're not paying him, I can tell. That's how that's going. You're going to pay him in compliments right now. And they're going to be playing. Now, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work, but there's an album release party. It's going to be at Jimmy's Grill in Naperville, 245 South Washington Street. Jimmy's Grill, Naperville.com, if you want to find it. And that's going to be on Saturday, November 2nd. That's a week from tomorrow, 9 to midnight. You're 15. Isn't there some sort of a curfew? Isn't there something? What's going on here?
I mean, if you're with your parents, then you don't have a curfew. So, okay. Our parents are there, so I guess we're fine.
I think that's true, actually, isn't it? If you get a pass, your parents are there.
Yeah, I mean, your parents are, yeah. I never was out with my parents. I have no idea what was going on.
Until midnight.
Right, ever. Ooh. So I don't know how that works. All right, stand by, guys. One more song coming from Cool Plant Names in just a few minutes. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapka, find out what's going on the roadways. Last check of the afternoon. All right, it's Live Music Friday on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We've already done the movie reviewing with Richard Roper. We've done the drinking with we should mention these guys again, too. The Lake County Fair Association was here, and they have an Oktoberfest, which is happening tomorrow evening, and the Lake County Fairgrounds. Go to lcfair.com, and they have every piece of information you need for that. And the fine folks at the Boston Beer Company, right, Sam Adams, they brought their Oktoberfest beer, and then we did some hoisting. And I have never seen a more competitive thing happen between Lauren and Kevin, where they were holding up these beer steins.
Straight out with the straight arm.
Right.
The super heavy beer stein.
Significant beer steins. These are not little beer steins. These are big beer steins. And they were holding them out, and they would not, that's the whole thing. How long can you hold it for?
And the record was like 6 minutes. I think they both got to like four. Three or four?
Definitely felt like that.
Yeah.
Yes. That was something. But Lauren, she's a slight young woman, and she was, kept playing a little ball. So it was interesting to watch the moment here where she just stood there. It reminded me of like Hunger Games. That's all I could think of while I was watching it. This was Thirsty Games, is what it looked like to me.
Who's going to put it down?
Yeah.
And don't forget, they're offering a $2 discount for our listeners. It's $10 to get in, free parking at the Lake County Fairgrounds.
There you go.
$2 discount.
And the music here is Cool Plant Names. These kids are 15 years old. They live in Naperville. They've got an album coming out next week, and they're doing an album release party at, this is pretty crazy, Jimmy's Grill in Naperville next Saturday night. And again, wait till you hear these guys. If you missed the first song, we'll be putting this up at WGNradio.com if you're interested in that. All right, what are you going to do next for us?
We have a song called Laundry Day for you.
Laundry Day. All right, here you go.
This sounds good.
Cool Plant Names.
Thank you.
turn everything right off. Getting out of bed always hurts on my head. Starting the day is making me say I'm so tired of feeling tired. I'm so tired of feeling wired. I'm so tired of feeling tired. I'm so tired of feeling wired.
There you go. Cool Planets. They're playing tonight, too.
Very cool.
I almost forgot to mention that. You can go see them tonight at Fremont Bar and Grill in Westmont.
Oh, nice.
By Alexis while you're out there. Step right by.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations, gentlemen. This is really something.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're off to something now. I'm not exactly sure.
I want to ask, though, whose Laundry Day inspired that song? Great song, great lyrics. And I know you write your own stuff, which is so cool. But what was going on there?
Well, so me and my friend Levi had this little inside joke about how much we don't like Laundry Day. I don't know how we thought of it or whatever. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to turn that into a song, I guess, about a day I don't like.
Love
you know?
It.
You got to write about what you know. I think that's how it goes.
I hate laundry too, right. But I wish I'd written a song like that.
Yeah, thank you.
There you
awesome
go.
Stuff, guys.
Cool Plant Names. You can find them on Facebook. Cool Plant Names Band, and they're on to something. And remember, you heard them here first. That's the most important thing. So congratulations to you and to your very proud parents who have their phones up. I've never seen anything quite like this.
It's a big moment. Yes. They're on the way. Yes, look.
It totally is. All right, we have got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 little minutes.